clothes, finding the pants much too big but very comfortable. I lie down in the bed and pull the blanket up to my chest, my eyes fixated on the ceiling as I relive the whole day in my mind. I feel myself drifting off to sleep, to dream of green eyes and black t-shirts.
No!
Harden's voice jolts me awake. Am I hearing things?
Please!
He yells again. I jump out of bed and run across the hall. My hands find the cold metal of the doorknob to Harden's room, and thank God it opens.
No! Please!
He yells again. I didn't think this through. If someone is hurting him, I have no idea what I will do. I fumble around for the lamp and switch it on. Harden is shirtless and tangled in the thick comforter, thrashing and tossing. Without thinking, I sit on the bed and reach for his shoulder. His skin is hot, too hot. Harden? I say quietly, trying to wake him. His head snaps to the side and he whimpers but doesn't wake. Harden, wake up! I cry, and shake him harder while my body moves to sit astride his. Both of my hands go to his shoulders once more, and I shake him again. His eyes fly open. Terror fills them for a brief moment before confusion, then relief. Beads of sweat cover his forehead.
Tess,
he chokes. The way he says my name breaks my heart, then heals it. Within seconds, he untangles his arms and brings them to my back, pushing me forward to lie on his chest. The wetness of his chest startles me, but I stay put. I can hear his heart beating, pumping rapidly against my cheek. Poor Harden. I put both of my hands on his sides, hugging him. He strokes my hair as he repeats my name over and over, as if I am his talisman in the dark. Harden, are you okay? My words are lower than a whisper.
No,
he confesses. His chest is rising and falling slower than it was, but his breathing is still shallow. I don't want to push him to discuss what terror he has just dreamed. I don't ask him if he wants me to stay. Somehow I know he does. When I lift up to turn the lamp off, his body stills. I was going to switch the light off, or do you want it on? I ask him. Once he realizes my intentions, he relaxes, letting me reach farther to the lamp.
Off, please,
he begs. Once the room returns to darkness, I lay my head back on his chest. I would imagine lying this way, straddling his body, would be difficult, but it is comforting to him and me both. Hearing his heartbeat under the hard surface of his chest is calming, more calming than the patter of the rain on the roof. I would do anything, give anything, to be able to spend every night with Harden, to lie this way with him, to have his arms wrapped around me and his breathing slow in my ear. I wake up to Harden shifting below me. I am still lying on top of him, my knees astride him. I lift my head from where it rests on his chest and encounter his dazzling green eyes. In the light of day, I am not sure if I am wanted the way I was last night. I can't read his expression, which leaves my nerves to take over. I move to climb off him since my neck feels sore from sleeping on his hard chest, and I need to stretch my legs anyway.
Good morning.
He gives me a dimpled smile, soothing my fear. Good morning.
Where are you going?
He asks. My neck hurts, I say, and he brings me to lie next to him, my back pressed against his front. He startles me by bringing his hand to my neck, causing me to jump. I recover quickly as his hand begins to rub my neck. My eyes close and I wince a little at his contact with the ache, but the pain slowly disappears as he massages. He speaks before me.
Thank you.
I turn my head to look at him. For what? Maybe he is telling me to thank him for the neck rub?
For coming in here. For staying.
His cheeks flush and his eyes dart away from mine. He is embarrassed. Harden embarrassed. He never ceases to amaze and confuse me. You don't have to thank me. Do you want to talk about it? I hope he does. I want to know what he dreams about.
No,
he states plainly, and I nod. I want to push it further, but I know what will happen if I do.
I will talk about how incredibly sexy you look wearing my shirt, though.
He coos in my ear. He nudges my head with his and brings his lips to my skin. My eyes close in response to his plump lips wrapping around my earlobe, gently tugging. I can feel him hardening against me, making me feel drowsy in an incredible way. This type of mood swing is one that I can enjoy. "Harden," I chirp, and he chuckles against my neck. His hands travel down my body. He brings his thumb along the waistband of the oversized plaid pajamas. My pulse begins to quicken, and I gasp as his hand slides down the front of the pants. He always has the same effect on me. Within seconds, I feel myself pooling in my panties. His other hand cups my breast, and he hisses as he flicks his thumb over my sensitive nipple, making me glad I decided not to sleep in my bra.
"I can't get enough of you, Tess."
His raspy voice is even deeper, filled with lust. His hand cups me over my panties, and he pulls me as close to him as possible. His erection presses against me. I reach down and take his hand, removing it from my pants. When I turn to face him, a frown covers his face.
I want to do something for you," I whisper slowly, embarrassed.
A smile overtakes the frown and he takes my chin in between his fingers, forcing me to look at him.
"What do you want to do?"
he asks. I don't know exactly. I just know I want to make him feel as good as he does me. I want to see him lose control like I did in this same room. I don't know. What do you want me to do? My lack of experience is evident in my tone. Harden puts my hands in his and slides them down to the bulge in his pants.
"I really want those plump lips wrapped around me."
I gasp at his words and feel the pressure in between my thighs.
"Is that something you want?"
he asks, his hands moving circles over his crotch. His dark eyes regard me, gauging my reaction. I nod and gulp, earning a smile from him. He sits up and pulls me to join him. Nervousness and want both flood my body. The loud jingle of his ringtone echoes through the room, and he groans before snatching his phone off the table. His eyes meet the screen, and he sighs.
"I'll be right back,"
he informs me and disappears out of the room. He returns a few minutes later, and his mood has changed once more.
"Karen is making breakfast. It's almost finished."
He pulls open the dresser and grabs a T-shirt, tossing it over his head without looking in my direction. "Okay." I stand up and go to the door, needing to put a bra on before I go see his family.
"See you downstairs."
His tone is emotionless. I swallow the lump rising in my throat. Guarded Harden is my least favorite Harden, even less liked than angry Harden. Who called him and why did it make him so distant? Why can't he just stay in a good mood? I nod and walk across the hall, smelling bacon that causes my stomach to grumble. I put my bra on and pull the drawstring on the plaid pants as tight as it will go. I contemplate putting my dress back on, but I really don't want to be uncomfortable this early in the morning. Checking the large mirror on the wall, I run my fingers through my unruly hair and wipe the sleep from my eyes. As I close the bedroom door, Harden opens his. Instead of looking at him, I focus on the wallpaper and walk forward down the hall. I can hear his steps behind me, and when I reach the staircase, his hand wraps around my elbow, pulling me gently.
"What's wrong?"
he asks, worry clouding his features. "Nothing, Harden," I snap. "I am overly emotional and I haven't even had breakfast yet."
"Tell me,"
he demands, dipping his head so that his face is in full view. I give in. "Who called you?"
"No one."
He lies. "Was it Molly?" I don't want to know the answer. He doesn't say anything, but his expression gives away that I am right. He left the room as I was about to do that to him to answer a phone call from Molly? I should be more surprised than I am.
"Tessa, it's not..."
he begins. I pull my arm from his grip and he clenches his jaw.
"Hey, guys."
Landon appears in the hall and I smile. His hair is sticking up slightly and he wears plaid pants similar to mine. He looks adorable and sleepy. I pass Harden and move toward Landon. I refuse to let Hardin know how embarrassed and hurt I am by him answering Molly's call while we were together like that.
How did you sleep last night?
Landon asks, and I follow him down the stairs, leaving a frustrated Hardin to himself. Karen has gone all out on breakfast, like I could have predicted she would. Hardin joins us at the table a few minutes later, but I've already piled eggs, bacon, toast, a waffle, and a few grapes on my plate. Thank you so much for making this breakfast for us, I tell Karen, on mine and Hardin's behalf. I know he won't be bothered with thanking her. It's my pleasure, dear. How did you sleep? I hope the storm didn't keep you awake, she smiles. Hardin tenses beside me, probably worried I will mention his nightmare. He should know by now I would never do that, so his lack of trust only bothers me more. I slept great, actually. I sure didn't miss my bed in my dorm, I laugh, and everyone joins me. Everyone except Hardin, of course. He takes a drink of his orange juice and keeps his eyes focused on the wall. Mindless breakfast chatter fills the dining room as Ken and Landon banter about some football game. After breakfast, I help Karen clean up the kitchen once more. Hardin hovers in the doorway, not offering to help, but just watching me. If you don't mind me asking, is that a greenhouse in the backyard? I ask Karen. Why, yes it is. I haven't done much with it this year, but I absolutely love gardening. You should have seen it last summer, she says. Do you like to garden? Oh, yes. My mother has a greenhouse out back as well, and it was where I spent most of my free time as a child. Really? Well, maybe if you two come around more often, we could make something out of mine, she says. She is so kind and loving. Everything I wish I had in a mother. I smile. That would be lovely. Hardin disappears momentarily, and when he returns, he clears his throat loudly. We both turn to look at him.
We should get going soon,
he says, and I frown. He has my clothes and purse in his hands, holding out my Toms. It's a little weird he doesn't give me a moment to change out of the pajamas, and a little discomforting that he went through my things, but I overlook it. We say our goodbyes, and I hug Karen and Ken while Hardin waits impatiently by the door. I promise them that we will return soon, and hope that it will come true. I knew my time here would end, but it has been such a nice departure from my normal life. No lists, no alarms, no obligations. I am not ready for it to end. Chapter 51. The car ride is awkward. I hold my clothes on my lap and stare out the window, waiting to see if Hardin is going to break the silence that hangs between us. He makes no move to speak, so I pull my phone out of my purse. It's off. It must have died last night. I try to turn it on anyway, and the screen comes to life. I am relieved to find that I have no new voicemails or texts. The only noise in the car is the light rain and the slow screech of the windshield wipers.
Are you still mad?
He finally asks as he pulls onto campus. No, I lie. I'm not exactly mad, just hurt.
It sure seems like you are. Don't act like a child.
Well, I am not. I couldn't care less if you want to drop me off so you can go hook up with Molly. The words tumble from my mouth before I can stop them. I hate the way I feel about him and Molly. It makes me sick to my stomach to think of them together. What is it about her anyway? Her pink hair? Her tattoos?
That's not what I'm doing. Not that it's your business.
He scoffs. Yeah, well, you jumped to answer your phone when I was about to... Well, you know... I mutter. I should have just stayed quiet. I don't want to fight with Hardin right now, especially when I don't know when I will see him again. I really wish he hadn't dropped literature. He just pushes my buttons, every single one.
It isn't like that, Teresa,
he says. So we are back to Teresa. Really, Hardin? It seems like it is to me. I don't really give a crap anyway. I knew it wouldn't last, I finally admit to him and myself. The reason I didn't want to leave his father's house is that I knew once it was just Hardin in me, it would go back to this. It always does.
What wouldn't last?
This. Us. You being decent to me. I don't dare to look at him. That's how he gets me to turn to putty every time.
So what then? You're going to avoid me for another week? We both know that by this weekend you'll be back in my bed.
He snaps. He surely did not just say that. Excuse me? I shout. I am at a loss for words. No one has ever talked to me the way he has. No one has ever been so disrespectful. Tears brim over my eyes as the car slows to park. Before he can respond, I open the door, grab my things, and bolt toward my room. I cut across the soaking grass and curse at myself for not taking the sidewalk, but I just need to get as far away from Hardin as possible. When he said he wants me, he meant sexually. I knew this, but it hurts to let it soak in.
Tessa, I hear him call.
One of Steph's heels drops and falls to the ground, but I keep running. I will get her a new pair.
Damn it, Tessa, stop,
he yells again. I hadn't expected him to follow me. I push myself to run faster, and finally I reach my building and run down the hall. By the time I reach my dorm room, I am full on sobbing. I yank the door open, then slam it shut behind me. My tears mix with the rain, and I turn to look for my bath towel to clean off with, and am frozen in place when I see Noah sitting on my bed. Oh, God, not now. Hardin will be crashing through the door any second. Noah gets up and rushes toward me.
Tessa, what is wrong? Where have you been?
His hand tries to cut my cheek, but I turn my head. Pain flashes in his eyes as I turn away from his touch. I'm so sorry, Noah, I cry as Hardin yanks the door open, the hinges squeaking and cracking from his might. Noah's eyes widen and narrow as his gaze meets Hardin's. He backs away from me with a horrified expression. Hardin tosses the high heel that I left behind and walks farther into the room without acknowledging Noah's presence at all.
I didn't mean that, what I just said,
he says. Noah looks at me, hatred laced through his voice as he exclaims,
That's where you were? You were with him all night? Are those his clothes? I tried to call you and text you all night and all morning. I left you countless voicemails, and you were with him?
What? I start, but then turn to Hardin. You went through my phone, didn't you? You deleted the messages, I shout at him. My head tells me to answer Noah, but my heart is focused only on Hardin.
Yeah, I did,
he admits. Why the hell would you do that? You can answer Molly's calls, but you delete my messages from my boyfriend? He winces as I call Noah my boyfriend. How dare you play these games with me, Hardin? I scream, sobbing again. Noah grabs my wrist and turns me to face him, which only prompts Hardin to shove Noah back by the shoulders.
Do not touch her,
he growls. This is not happening. I watch as the daytime soap opera that has become my life unfolds in front of me.
You don't tell me what to do with my girlfriend, you prick,
Noah says angrily and shoves Hardin. Hardin advances toward Noah once more, but I grab his shirt and pull him back. Maybe I should let them fight each other. Hardin deserves a good punch in the jaw. Stop it! Hardin, just go! I wipe my tears. Hardin glares at Noah again and moves to stand in front of me. I reach over and gently place my palm against Hardin's back, hoping it may calm him.
No, I'm not leaving this time, Tessa. I've already done that too many times.
He sighs and runs his fingers through his hair.
Tessa, make him leave,
Noah begs, but I ignore him. I have to know what Hardin will say.
I didn't mean what I said in the car, and I don't know why I took Molly's phone call. It's a habit, I guess. Please just give me another chance. I know you've already given me too many chances, but I just need one more. Please, Tess.
He lets out a big breath. He sounds exhausted. Why should I, Hardin? I have continued to give you chances to be my friend over and over, I tell him. I don't think I have it in me to try again. I am faintly aware of Noah gaping at us, but at the moment I don't care. I know this is wrong, I'm wrong, but I've never wanted anything so much in my life.
I don't just want to be friends. I want more.
His words knock the wind right out of me. No, you don't. Hardin doesn't date, my subconscious warns.
Yes, I do. I do.
You said you don't date and that I wasn't your type, I remind him. My mind still can't wrap itself around the fact that I'm having this conversation with Hardin in front of Noah at that.
You aren't my type, just the way that I'm not yours. But that's why we are good for each other. We are so different, yet we're the same. You told me once that I bring out the worst in you. Well, you bring out the best in me. I know you feel it too, Tessa. And yes, I didn't date until you. You make me want to date. You make me want to be better. I want you to think I am worthy of you. I want you to want me the way I do you. I want to fight with you, even scream at each other until one of us admits we are wrong. I want to make you laugh and listen to you ramble about classic novels. I need you. I know I am cruel at times. Well, all the time, but that's only because I don't know how else to be.
His voice becomes a half whisper, his eyes wild.
This has been me for so long. I've never wanted to be any other way. Until now. Until you.
I am dumbfounded. He said everything I wanted him to say, but never imagined that he actually would. This is not the Hardin I know, but the way his words came out in a rushed string and the heavy breathing that accompanied them somehow make it all the more true and natural. I am not sure how I am still standing after his declaration.
What the hell? Tessa?
Noah says frantically. You should go, I whisper, not breaking eye contact with Hardin. Noah steps forward and crows with victory.
Thank you. I thought that was never going to end.
Hardin looks heartbroken, absolutely crushed. Noah, I said you should go, I repeat. Both men suck in a sharp breath. Relief washes over Hardin, and I reach for his hands, threading my small fingers through his trembling ones.
What?
Noah shouts.
You can't be serious, Tessa. We have known each other so long. This guy is just using you. He will toss you aside as soon as he is done with you, and I love you. Don't make this mistake, Tessa, he begs.
I feel for him, and it hurts me to do this to him, but I know I can't be with Noah. I want Hardin, more than anything I've ever wanted in my life. And Hardin wants me. More with me. My heart flutters again, and I look at Noah, who opens his mouth to say something.
I would stop talking. Now,
Hardin warns him. I am so sorry that it happened this way. I really am, I say. He doesn't say anything else. He looks broken as he picks up the backpack he brought and leaves my room.
Tessa, you really do feel the same way?
Hardin gasps, and I nod. How could he not know this by now?
No nodding. Please say it.
Desperation fuels his words. Yeah, Hardin, I do, I say. I don't have a beautiful or meaningful speech like he did, but those simple words seem to be enough for him. The smile I receive heals some of the pain I feel from breaking Noah's heart.
So what do we do now?
He asks.
I'm new at this.
He flushes. Kiss me, I say, and he pulls me to his chest, his hand fisting the loose fabric of his shirt on my back. His lips are cool and his tongue is warm as it slips into my mouth. Despite the chaos that just occurred in my small room, I feel calm. This feels like a dream. I somehow know it is the calm before the storm, but right now, Hardin is my anchor. I just pray that he doesn't pull me under. Chapter 52. When Hardin finally breaks our kiss, he sits on my bed and I join him. We're quiet for a few minutes, so I begin to feel nervous, like there's some way I should be behaving now that we are more, but I have no clue what way that is.
What do you plan for the rest of the day?
He asks. Nothing, just studying, I say.
Cool.
He clicks his tongue onto the roof of his mouth. He seems nervous too, and I am glad it isn't just me.
Come here.
Hardin beckons me and opens his arms. The moment I sit on his lap, the door opens and he groans. Steph, Tristan, and Nate all pour in and then stare at us as I climb off Harden and sit on the other side of the bed.
So are you guys, like, fuck buddies now?
Nate says plainly. No, we aren't, I squeak. I don't know what I should tell them, so I just wait for Harden to say something. He stays quiet as Tristan and Nate begin to talk to him about the party last night.
It seems I didn't miss much,
Harden says to them, and Nate shrugs.
Until Molly gave us a strip show. She got completely naked. You should have been there,
Nate replies. I cringe and look toward Steph, who is staring at Tristan, probably hoping he isn't going to comment on Molly being naked. Harden smiles.
Nothing I haven't seen before.
I gasp, then try to conceal it as a cough. He did not just say that. His face falls, seeming to understand what he just did. Maybe this was a terrible idea. It is already sort of awkward, and now that everyone is in the room, it's magnified. Why didn't he tell them we were dating? Are we dating? I don't really understand myself. I thought after his confession that we were, but we never actually said it. Maybe we don't need to? This uncertainty is already driving me crazy. The entire time I have been with Noah, I have never had to worry about his feelings for me. I never had to deal with ex-friends with benefits. I am the only girl Noah has ever kissed in his life, and honestly, I like it that way. I wish Harden had never done anything with another girl, or at least had done things with fewer of them.
We're going bowling after I change. Do you want to come?
Steph asks, and I shake my head. I have to catch up on my studying. I've barely gotten any done this weekend, I tell her, and look away as the memories of the weekend flood through my mind.
You should come. It'll be fun,
Harden says, but I shake my head. I really need to stay in, and I was sort of hoping he would stay with me. Steph steps into the closet and returns a few minutes later with different clothes on.
Ready, guys? You sure you don't want to come?
She asks me. I nod. I'm sure. They all get up to leave, and Harden gives me a wave and a small smile before exiting the room. I'm disappointed with Harden's goodbye, and hope that he'd made these plans before this weekend together and the drama today. But what did I expect? For him to rush over and kiss me, tell me he would miss me? I laugh at the thought. I don't know if anything will even change between Harden and me besides us actively trying to avoid one another. I'm too used to how things are with Noah, so I have no idea how this is going to be, and I hate not having control over every situation. After an hour of studying and attempting to take a nap, I grab my phone to text Harden. Wait, I don't even have his number. I had never thought about it before. We have never talked on the phone or texted before. We never needed to. We couldn't stand each other. This is going to be more complicated than I thought. I call my mother to catch up with her, and mostly to see if Noah has told her what happened yet. He would be arriving back home soon from the 2-hour drive, and I am sure he won't waste any time telling her everything. She answers with a simple hello, so I know she has no clue yet. I tell her about my failed attempt to get a car and the possible internship with Vance. Of course, she reminds me that I've been at college over a month and I still haven't found a car. I roll my eyes and let her continue to ramble on about what she has been doing the last week. My phone lights up while I'm listening to her. I place her on speakerphone and read the text.
You should have come with us, with me.
The message reads, My heart swells. It's Harden. Pretending to listen to my mother, I mumble, oh, a few times while I text him back. You should have stayed, I send. I stare at the screen, waiting for him to reply.
I'm coming to pick you up,
he replies after what seems like forever. What? No, I don't want to go bowling. You're already there. Just stay.
I already left. Be ready.
Boy, he's demanding, even through text messages. My mother is still talking, and I have no idea what about. I stopped listening once Harden texted me. Mom, I will call you back, I interrupt. Why? She asks with surprise and disdain. I spilled coffee on my notes. I gotta go. I hang up and hastily go into the closet, pulling Harden's pajamas off and grabbing my new jeans and a plain purple top. I brush out my hair, which looks decent considering it hasn't been washed.
I check the time and go down to the bathroom to brush my teeth, and when I return, Hardin is waiting on my bed.
"Where were you?"
he asks. "Brushing my teeth," I tell him, and put my toiletry bag away.
"Ready?"
He stands up and walks toward me. I half expect him to hug me, but he doesn't. He just moves to the door. I nod and grab my purse and phone. When we get to his car, he keeps the radio down as he drives. I really don't want to go to the bowling alley. I hate bowling, but I want to spend time with him. I don't like how codependent I already feel. "How long do you think we will be there?" I ask after a few minutes of silence.
"I don't know. Why?"
He looks sideways at me. "I don't know. I don't really care for bowling."
"It won't be too bad. Everyone's there,"
he assures me. "I hope everyone doesn't include part-time home Molly." "I guess," I mumble and look out the window.
"You don't want to go?"
His voice is quiet. "Not really. That's why I said no the first time." I laugh a little non-laugh.
"Let's go somewhere else then?"
"Where?" I'm irritated with him, but I'm not sure why.
"My house?"
he suggests, and I smile and nod. His smile grows, showing the dimples that I've grown so fond of.
"My house it is, then."
He reaches over and puts his hand on my thigh. My skin warms, and I put my hand over his. 15 minutes later, we are pulling up to the large fraternity house. I haven't been here since Hardin and I fought, and I walked back to the dorms. As he leads me up the stairs, none of the guys bothers to look twice at us. They must be used to seeing Hardin bring a girl home. My stomach pings at the thought. I need to stop thinking this way, because it's going to drive me insane, and there is nothing I can do to change it.
"Here we are,"
Hardin says, and unlocks his door. I follow him inside, and he turns the light on, kicking his boots off his feet and onto the floor. He moves over to the bed and pats the spot next to him. As I walk toward him, my curiosity gets the best of me. "Was Molly there? At the bowling alley?" I look out his window as I ask him.
"Yeah, of course she was,"
he answers casually.
"Why?"
I sit down on the soft bed and Hardin pulls me by my ankles closer to him. I laugh and slide closer, my back flat against the bed, putting my knees up and my feet on the other side of his legs. "I was just wondering," I tell him, and he grins.
"She's always going to be around. She's part of our group."
I know it's silly of me to be this jealous of her, but she just bothers me. She acts like she likes me when I know she doesn't, and I know she likes Hardin. Now that we are, whatever we are, I don't want her near him.
"You aren't, like, worried that I will fuck her, are you?"
I swat his arm at his use of words. I love the way dirty words sound coming off his lips, but not when she's involved. "No, well, I... maybe. I just know you have before, and I don't want you to again," I say. I am sure he's going to mock my jealousy, so I turn my head sideways. His hand goes to my knee, and he squeezes gently.
"I wouldn't do that. Not now. Don't worry about her, okay?"
His words are gentle, and I believe him. "Why didn't you tell anyone about us? I know I should just shut my mouth, but it has been bothering me."
"I don't know. I wasn't sure if you wanted me to. Besides, what we do is our business, not theirs,"
he explains. His answer is much better than what was going through my mind. "I guess you're right. I thought maybe you were embarrassed or something," I say, and he laughs.
"Why would I possibly be embarrassed by you? Look at you."
His eyes darken and he moves his hand to my stomach. His fingers tug up my shirt, and he draws circles on my bare skin with his digits. Goosebumps raise my skin, and he smiles.
"I love the way your body responds to me,"
he breathes. I know what is coming next, and I can't wait. Chapter 53 Hardin's fingers trail farther up my shirt, causing my breath to quicken. A smile creeps onto his beautiful face as he becomes aware.
"One touch and you're already panting,"
his raspy voice whispers. He leans over, moving my feet off his lap so that he can bring his mouth to my neck. His tongue makes a flat stripe down my neck, and I quiver. My fingers thread into his curls, and I tug as he nips at my skin. One of his hands slides down in between my legs, but I grab his wrist to stop him.
"What's wrong?"
he asks. "Nothing. I just thought that I would do something for you this time." I look away, but his fingers cut my chin, so I am forced to make eye contact with him. He tries to hide his smirk, but I catch him.
"And what would you like to do for me?"
"Well, I thought I could... you know what you said the other day? I don't know why I am so shy with words when Hardin says anything and everything he is thinking, but the words blowjob are not in my vocabulary."
"You want to suck my cock?"
he asks, clearly surprised. I am officially horrified, yet somehow turned on. Yeah. I mean, if you want me to. I hope as our relationship progresses, I will be able to say these things to him. I would love to be comfortable enough with Hardin to be able to feel that sort of bravery, to tell him exactly what I want to do to him.
"Of course I want you to. I've wanted your lips around me since I first saw you."
I'm oddly flattered by his crude remark, but then he asks,
"Are you sure, though? Have you ever even seen a dick before?"
I'm sure he knows the answer to that. Maybe he's just trying to get me to say it. "Of course I have. Not a real one, but pictures. And I once walked in on a neighbor watching a naughty movie," I tell him, and he stifles a laugh. "Stop laughing at me, Hardin," I warn him.
"I'm not, baby. I'm sorry. It's just I have never met anyone who has such little experience. It's a good thing, though, I swear. Sometimes your innocence just throws me off a bit. But with that being said, it's a huge turn-on that I am the only one who has ever made you come, yourself included."
He doesn't laugh this time, which makes me feel better. "Okay, so let's get started." He smiles and runs his thumb along my cheek.
"So sassy. I like it,"
he says and stands up. "Where are you going?" I ask him, and he smiles.
"Nowhere. I'm just taking my pants off."
"I wanted to do that," I say with a pout, and he chuckles and tugs his pants back up.
"Here you go, babe."
He puts his hands on his hips. I smile and move forward, pulling his pants down. Should I pull down his boxers, too? Hardin takes a step back and puts his heels against his bed before sitting down. I drop to my knees in front of him, and he takes a deep breath.
"Come closer, babe."
I scoot closer and place my hands on his bent knees.
"Are you okay?"
he asks carefully. I nod, and he pulls me up by my elbows.
"Let's just kiss for a minute, okay?"
he suggests and pulls me on top of him. I have to admit I'm relieved. I still want to do this. I just need a minute to process, and kissing will make me more comfortable. He kisses me, slowly at first, but within seconds the electricity builds and takes over me. I grip his arms hard under my fingertips and rock back and forth on his lap. The bulge in his thin boxers grows, and I tug gently on his hair. I wish I would have worn a skirt so I could lift it up and feel him against me. I'm shocked by my own thoughts as I reach down and palm him through his boxers.
"Fuck, Tessa. If you keep doing that, I will come in my boxers again."
He moans and I stop, climbing off him. I move to get on my knees again.
"Take your jeans off,"
he instructs, and I nod before unbuttoning them and sliding them down my legs. Feeling brave, I pull my shirt over my head and toss it aside. Hardin takes his lip between his teeth as I move back down in front of him. My fingers grip the waistband of his boxers and tug as he lifts off the bed enough for me to pull them down. I can feel my eyes widen and hear my own gasp as Hardin's manhood comes into view. Wow, it's big. Much bigger than I expected. How am I going to even get it into my mouth? I stare for a few seconds until I reach out and touch it with my index finger. Hardin chuckles as it moves slightly but bounces right back. What should I do first? I stutter. I am intimidated by the size of him, but I want to do this.
I'll show you. Here, wrap your fingers like the last time.
My fingers go around him and I wiggle them a little. The skin covering him is much softer than I expected. I know I'm poking it and examining it like a science project, but this is so new to me, it almost feels like one. I grip it lightly and move my hand up and down slowly. "Like this?" I ask, and Hardin nods, his chest rising and falling.
"Now, just put your mouth around it. Not all of it, well, if you can, but just put as much as you can."
I take a deep breath and lean down. Opening my mouth, I take him in only about halfway. He hisses and his hands move to my shoulders. I pull back slightly and taste something salty. Is that cum already? The taste goes away and I move my head up and down. Some instinct that I wasn't aware of tells me to move my tongue up and down his shaft as I move.
"Holy fuck. Yeah, like that,"
Hardin groans, and I repeat the action. His grip on my shoulders tightens, and his hips rock upward to meet my mouth. I push myself farther, taking almost all of him in, and look up at him. His eyes are rolled to the back of his head, and he looks heavenly. The lean muscle underneath his tattooed skin is pulling, making the script across his ribs move slowly. I turn my focus back to sucking and move a little faster.
"Use your hand on the rest,"
he gasps, and I oblige. My hand moves up and down on the bottom of him as my mouth works the top. I suck my cheeks in, and he groans again.
"Fuck. Fuck. Tessa, I am so close,"
he says, straining.
"If you don't want it in your mouth, then you have to stop."
I look up at him, keeping him in my mouth. I love the way he is losing control because of me.
"Shit. Keep looking. At me."
His body tenses as he watches me. I bat my eyelashes, giving the full effect. Hardin curses my name repeatedly, beautifully, and I feel a slight jerk in my mouth and a warm, salty liquid shoots down my throat in short spurts. I gag and pull back. It didn't taste as bad as I thought it would, but it definitely doesn't taste good. His hands move from my shoulders to my cheeks. He's out of breath and dazed.
"How was it?"
I climb off my knees and sit next to him on the bed. His arms wrap around me and he lays his head on my shoulder. "I thought it was nice," I say, and he laughs.
"Nice?"
"It was fun, sort of, to see you that way. And it didn't taste as bad as I thought," I confess. I should be embarrassed that I just admitted to liking it, but I'm not. "How was it for you?" I ask nervously.
"I was so very pleasantly surprised. The best head I have ever gotten."
I blush at his words. "Sure it was," I laugh. I appreciate him trying to make me feel better about my lack of experience.
"No, really. The way you are so pure, it does something to me. And fuck, when you looked up at me..."
"Okay, okay." I cut him off and wave my hand at him. I don't want to relive every detail of my first time doing this. He chuckles and gently pushes me back against the mattress.
"Now let me make you feel as good as you did me,"
he growls in my ear and sucks the skin on my neck. His fingers hook into my panties and tug them down.
"Do you want my finger or my tongue?"
he whispers seductively. "Both," I answer, and he smiles.
"As you wish."
He dips his head down. I whimper and tug at his hair again. I do that a lot to him, but he seems to like it. My back arches off the bed, and within minutes, I'm in a completely euphoric state, calling Hardin's name as I come undone. After my breathing slows, I sit up and bring my fingers to trace the dark ink on his chest. He watches me carefully but doesn't stop me. He stays quiet as he lies down next to me, letting me enjoy my sedated state.
"No one has ever touched me this way,"
he says, and I swallow all the questions I want to ask him. Instead of interrogating him, I give him a small smile and a quick kiss on his chest.
"Stay with me tonight?"
he asks, and I shake my head. "I can't. Tomorrow is Monday and we have classes. I want to stay with him, but not on a Sunday. His look is soft.
Please?
I don't have any clothes to wear tomorrow.
Wear those. Please stay with me. Just one night. I promise you will make it to your classes on time.
I don't know.
I will even make sure you get there 15 minutes early and have enough time to stop by the coffee house and meet Landon,
he says, and my lips part. How do you know I do that?
I watch you. I mean, not all the time, but I notice you more than you think,
he tells me, and my heart swells. I'm falling for him, hard and fast. I'll stay, I tell him, but hold my hand up to continue, on one condition.
What's that?
Come back to literature, I ask, and he raises his eyebrow.
Done.
I smile at his simple answer, and he pulls me closer to his chest. Chapter 54. After lying in Hardin's arms for a few minutes, I begin to think about my agreement to stay with Hardin tonight. What about my shower in the morning? I remind him.
You can take one here, down the hall.
His lips meet my jaw, trailing kisses up and down. His lips on my skin cause my judgment to cloud. He knows exactly what he is doing. In a frat house? Who knows who will come in?
One, the door locks. And two, I would accompany you, obviously,
he says between kisses. I scowl at his tone, but decide to ignore it. Fine, but I'd like to take a shower now, before it gets too late. He nods and stands up and reaches for his jeans. I climb off the bed and do the same, leaving my panties off.
No panties?
He smirks. Ignoring him, I roll my eyes and say, Do you have shampoo? I don't even have a hairbrush. I'm starting to get anxious thinking of all the things that I don't have with me. And Q-tips? Dental floss? I continue.
Relax. We have Q-tips and floss. We probably even have an extra toothbrush. And I know there's a hairbrush or two in there. There are probably even extra panties in every size laying about somewhere if you want some,
he informs me. Panties? I ask, before I realize he means they were left by other girls. Never mind, I say, and he laughs. I hope Hardin doesn't have some weird collection of underwear from girls he has slept with. He leads me to the bathroom. I feel more comfortable in here than I imagined, only because I've been in this bathroom quite a few times. Hardin turns on the water and pulls his shirt over his head. What are you doing? I ask.
Taking a shower?
Oh, I thought I was taking one first.
Take one with me,
he says casually. No. I won't, I laugh. I can't take a shower with him.
Why not? I've already seen you. You have seen me. What's the big deal?
He groans. I don't know. I just don't want to. I know he has already seen me naked, but this just seems so intimate. More intimate even than what we just did.
Fine. You go first, then,
he says, but his voice has picked up a slight edge. I smile sweetly and ignore his sour tone and undress. His eyes scan my body and then look away. My hand reaches behind the curtain to check the temperature of the water, and I step in. Hardin stays silent while I wet my hair. Too silent. Hardin? I call. Did he leave the bathroom?
Yeah.
I thought maybe you left. He pulls back the curtain a little and pops his wavy head in.
Nope, still here.
Is something wrong? I ask him, frowning sympathetically. He shakes his head in response, but doesn't say anything. Is he really pouting like a child because I won't take a shower with him? I almost want to tell him to join me, but I want him to get the point that he can't just get his way all the time. His head disappears from the shower, and I hear him sit down on the toilet. The shampoo and body wash are both strong, musky scents. I miss my vanilla shampoo, but this is fine for one night. It probably would have made more sense for Hardin to stay with me in my room, but Steph would be in there, and it would be awkward to explain everything, and I don't imagine Hardin would be as affectionate if she was around. The thought bothers me, but I push it back. Could you hand me a towel? I ask him, and shut off the water. Or two if you have enough. I like to have one for my hair and one for my body. His hand pushes through the curtain, holding two towels. I thank him, and he mutters something that I don't understand. He pulls his jeans down as I dry off and turns the water back on. His long arms pull back the curtain, and I can't help but stare at his naked body. The more I get to see him this way, the more beautiful the designs printed on his skin are to me. I continue to stare as he steps into the shower. The water sprays onto his dark hair, and he closes the curtain. I should have taken one with him, not because he is pouting, but because now I really want to. I'm going to go back to your room, I tell him, figuring he's ignoring me anyway. He jerks the curtain back, causing the rings to scrape against the rod.
No, you're not.
Okay, what is your problem? I snap.
Nothing. You're just not going back by yourself. There are 30 guys living here, so you don't need to be wandering the halls.
No, there's something else. You've been pouting since I said you couldn't take a shower with me.
No, I haven't.
Tell me why, or I will go out there in this towel, I threaten, knowing I would never actually do it. His eyes narrow, and he reaches out for my arm to stop me, splashing water on the floor.
I just don't like being told no.
His voice is low, but much softer than it was moments ago. I imagine that when it comes to girls, Harden hardly, if ever, hears the word no. My mind tells me to tell him to get used to it, but I haven't told him no until this point either. As soon as he touches me, I do whatever he wants. Well, I am not like the other girls, Harden, I snap, my jealousy coming forward. A small smile plays on his lips as the water runs over his face.
I know, Tess. I know.
He closes the curtain and I pull my clothes on and he turns the water off.
You can wear some of my clothes to bed,
he tells me, and I nod. I barely hear him because I am too focused on his glistening body in front of me. He rubs the white towel against his hair, leaving it sticking up all over his head, then wraps the towel around his waist. The towel hangs so low on his hips, he looks like pure sex. It feels like the temperature in the bathroom has risen 20 degrees. Bending down to open a cabinet, he pulls out a hairbrush and places it into my hand.
Come,
he says, and I shake my head, trying to clear the dirty thoughts from my mind. We walk down the hall and turn the corner as a tall blonde guy almost runs into me. I look up at his face and my bones chill.
Haven't seen you in a while,
he purrs, and I feel nauseous. Harden? I squeak, and he turns around. It takes him only a moment to remember this is the same guy who tried to make a move on me before.
Get away from her, Neil,
he barks, and Neil pales. He must not have seen Harden before he turned the corner. His mistake.
My bad, Scott,
he says and walks away. Thanks, I whisper to Harden. He wraps his hand over mine and unlocks his door.
I should just beat the shit out of him, yeah?
Harden says as I take a seat on the bed. No, you shouldn't, I beg. I can't tell if he is serious, but I don't want to find out. He grabs the remote off his dresser and switches the television on before opening the drawer and tossing me a t-shirt and a pair of boxers. I remove my jeans and pull the boxers on, rolling them a few times at the top. Could I maybe wear the shirt you wore today? I don't realize how weird it sounds until the words are out.
What?
He grins. Well, never mind. I don't know what I was saying. I lie. I want to wear your dirty shirt because it smells good? That sounds strange and crazy. He chuckles and picks the shirt off the floor and walks over to me.
Here, babe,
he says and hands it to me. I am glad he didn't embarrass me further, but I still feel a little silly. Thanks, I chirp, and pull my own shirt off and remove my bra, then slip his shirt on. I inhale and find it smells just as amazing as I knew it would. Catching this, his eyes soften as he looks at me.
You are beautiful,
he says and looks away. I get the feeling he didn't mean to say the words out loud, which makes my heart swell even more. I smile at him and take a step forward. So are you.
Enough of that,
he says with a laugh as his cheeks flush.
What time do you need to be up in the morning?
He asks and sits on the bed, browsing through the channels. 5, but I will set my own alarm.
5? 5 in the morning? Your first class is at what, 9? Why do you get up so early?
I don't know, just to be prepared, I guess. I rake the hairbrush through my hair.
Well, let's get up at 7. My body doesn't function before 7,
he tells me, and I groan. Harden and I are so different. 6:30? I try to compromise.
Fine, 6:30,
he agrees. We spend the rest of the evening watching random television shows before Harden falls asleep with his head on my lap, my fingers running through his hair. I slide down and lie next to him, trying not to wake him.
Tess,
he groans, and his hands move in front of him as if he is reaching for me. Here, I whisper from behind him. He turns to his other side and wraps his arm around me before falling back to sleep. He says that he sleeps better when I am around, and I think that's true for me as well. The next morning, my alarm goes off at 6:30, and I rush around to try to put yesterday's clothes on and get Harden up and dressed. He's so hard to wake up. I feel flustered and unprepared, but we make it to my room by 7:15, giving me plenty of time to change and brush my hair and teeth again. Steph sleeps through it all, and I prevent Harden from pouring a glass of water on her head to wake her. I'm also really happy that Harden doesn't make any rude comments as I pull on one of my long skirts and a plain blue shirt.
See, it's only 8. We have 20 minutes before we have to leave to walk to the coffee house,
Harden brags. We?
Yeah, I thought I would walk with you. If not, that's cool too,
he says and looks away. Yeah, of course it's fine. I'm just not used to whatever this is that has changed between Harden and me. It will be nice not to have to avoid him or worry about running into him. What will Landon think? Will we even tell Landon? What should we do with our 20 minutes? I smile.
I have a few ideas.
His lips turn to a smirk and he pulls me onto him. Steph is here, I remind him as he sucks the skin under my ear.
I know. We are only kissing,
he says, laughing, and he presses his lips to mine. We leave before Steph wakes, and Harden offers to carry my bag, which is a nice but unexpected gesture. Where are your books? I ask him.
I don't bring them. I just borrow one every day in every class. Keeps me from having to carry one of these,
he says, and gestures to my bag on his shoulder. I roll my eyes and laugh at him. When we reach the coffee house, Landon is leaning against the brick and seems surprised to see Harden and me together. I give him an I will explain everything later look, and he smiles.
Well, I better get going. I have classes to sleep through,
Harden says, and I nod. What should I do? Hug him? But before I can decide, he drops my bag and hooks his arm around my waist, pulling me to his chest before kissing me. I didn't see this coming. I kiss him back and he releases me.
See you later,
he says with a grin and looks at Landon. This couldn't be more awkward. Landon's jaw is practically on the floor, and I find myself embarrassed by Harden's bold move. Sorry about that. I don't really care for public displays of affection. Noah and I have never done anything like that, except when I tried to kiss him at the mall to get Harden off my mind. I have a lot to tell you, I tell Landon, who picks up my bag. Chapter 55. Landon stays quiet during most of my explanation of my breakup with Noah and my question about what to call my relationship with Harden, since I think we're dating but we haven't exactly discussed it with technical terms.
I know I've already warned you, so I won't do it again, but please just be careful with him. Though I will admit he seems as infatuated with you as someone like him can be,
Landon says as we take our seats. It means a lot to me that despite his dislike of Harden, he is doing his best to be understanding and supportive. As I walk into my third class, my sociology professor waves me over to his podium.
I just got a call that you should report to the chancellor's office,
he tells me. What? Why? A million fears seize hold of my mind, and then I remember that Harden's father is the chancellor. I relax a little, only to have my nerves take over for different reasons. What could he possibly need? I know college doesn't work the same way as high school, but I feel as if I'm getting called down to the principal's office. Only the principal happens to be my boyfriend's dad.
I pull my bag onto my shoulder and make my way across campus to the administration building. It's a long walk and takes me over a half hour. I give the secretary at the front desk my name, and she quickly picks up the phone. I can't hear anything except Dr. Scott. "He is ready for you," she says with a professional smile, and points to the wooden door across the hall. I go over, but before I can knock, the door creaks open and Ken greets me with a smile.
"Tessa, thank you for coming,"
he says, guiding me inside, then gestures for me to sit down. He takes a seat in the large swivel chair behind an oversized cherry wood desk. I feel much more intimidated by him in this office than I ever did at his home.
"Sorry for calling you out of class. I didn't know how else to reach you, and you know reaching Harden can be... difficult."
"It's okay, really. Is something wrong?" I ask nervously.
"No, not at all. I have a few things to discuss with you. Let's start with the internship."
He leans forward and puts his hands on the desk.
"I'm happy to say that I talked to my friend at Vance, and he would love to meet with you. The sooner the better. If you're free tomorrow, that would be best,"
he says. "Really?" I shriek, my excitement bringing me to my feet. Feeling awkward to be standing, I hastily sit back down. "That's so great. Thank you so much. You have no idea how much I appreciate it," I tell him. "This is such great news. I can't believe he would do this for me."
"It really is my pleasure, Tessa."
He raises his eyebrows with interest.
"So shall I tell him you will come tomorrow?"
I really don't want to miss any classes, but this is worth it, and I'm ahead anyway. "Yes, that will be great. Thank you again. Wow," I say, and he laughs.
"Now for the second thing, and if you say no, that is perfectly fine. It is more of a personal request, or favor, I suppose. Your internship at Vance will not be affected in any way if you decline," he says.